You're listening to Voice Actor Showcase, episode number 10. Hi everyone, and welcome back to Voice Actor Showcase, a podcast about voice actors and their stories. I'm Jiun Yoon. I invite you to connect with us on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook at Voice Actor Show. You can also find these episodes on YouTube, youtube.com/voicemoto. The Voice Actor Showcase is about the voice actors on their journey to realize the dream of becoming an established voice actor. We're interested in telling the stories of countless voice actors around the world who are working hard to make their dream a reality. Whether they've booked their very first unpaid gig this week or booked a well-paying one. Now, if you have an interesting story to tell and you're starting to develop a strange yet undeniable attraction towards your NT1, I'd love to have you on the show. Please contact us by visiting voiceactorshowcase.com. Today, we'll meet a voice actor from Charlotte, North Carolina. He didn't get started in voiceover until he was 24 years old, as a debilitating mental health condition had prevented him from pursuing his goals, until it was diagnosed and medication became available to battle his condition. Despite this hurdle, he pushed forward with tenacity and worked extra hard to hone his craft. He has recently had his commercial demo professionally produced at the studio where he currently studies, and armed with this fresh new demo, he booked his first gig soon after. We'll hear the story about his condition, his determination to pursue voiceover, and where he plans to go from here. Please welcome Harrison Pettigo.
Well, everyone, there you have it. Nurse Sandy notified me 20 minutes ago that Tanya Harper is brain dead as of this morning, courtesy of a severe post-operative hemorrhage. Came in with malaise and bloody sputum at 10 and was a vegetable by 11. She was 13 years old and she died after a tonsillectomy! There is only a 2.5% chance of that happening on the national average, and it happened under my watch. To a child! And, I'm sorry, slip of the tongue, but she's not actually dead, is she? No. Her parents will have to sign off for that to happen. But not before they're swarmed with television crews and polarizing political candidates who are trying to milk this for everything it's worth. How can I say this so that you'll get it through your heads? This is unacceptable. There is no excuse for something like this happening to a little girl. Not once. People come here to get better, not worse, and there is a big difference between failing to save a life and cutting it short like a butcher. You do realize that the NHS includes pre-operative, intra-operative, and post-operative deaths when it posts its statistics, right? This will go on my record. I am a healer, and if you people can't keep a girl from bleeding out in the waiting room, then I will find new staff! I won't have my career ruined over a bunch of incompetent troglodytes. I mean, God! Get it together, people. Remember why we're here.
Harrison Pettigo, hello, sir. How are you this evening? Thanks for being on the show. What's going on?
Thanks for having me. It's good to be here.
All right, let's start from the back this time, actually. At the end of 2019, you had booked your very first gig, right? Congratulations.
Thank you.
Now, if you're able to, tell us more about that story. How did it come about? What was the job for, if you're allowed to share it? What was your audition like? Tell us about that story.
Well, so you mentioned auditions, and I didn't actually technically audition for this.
Oh.
Yeah. So I had a couple of demos made through the studio that I took my first, and still take classes, actually, through this studio. But I had a couple of demos made, and there was a client who went on their website and they were looking to see like which voice they wanted for their project, and they ended up landing on me.
No.
So I didn't actually have to audition at all, which was kind of nice. I'm still kind of riding the high from that a little bit. Like I'm still pretty stoked about it.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah. I was with my brother. We were going to the sandwich shop to get some lunch, and I got this email from the studio manager at the studio and it said, "Hey, what is your next Thursday looking like? Like, are you available? We have a client that wants to use you for this spot." And I was like, "Holy crap, I got a gig!" I was like, "Dude, I got a gig!" You know, so it was really nice to like end up going somewhere. You know, I literally almost cried tears of joy a couple of times that day. Like, I was super happy. It was really good.
It's a big moment. Absolutely.
Oh yeah. Like, I think I've heard it said before that like getting your first gig is like the biggest confidence boost you will get in this business, pretty much. Like, aside from, I don't know, maybe landing something really big, like years down the road or something. But so I called like everybody I knew and they all were like, "Oh, that's awesome." And I was like, "Yes, I know." So yeah.
What was it for? Can I ask?
Oh yeah. I've been told it's not confidential, so I can share what it was for. It was for an insurance company, and it's not like the most illustrious thing to hang my hat. Like, it's not a cartoon or something,
mm-mm.
But it's still like, it's paid work. I'm stoked about it. It's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
But when I describe it, it may sound less fun.
I know. Friends and family, like, "You booked a voiceover gig? What's it for?" "Some insurance company." Oh.
Yeah. And it's like, and then it's like, yeah. But anyway, I was like, I went in a little bit early and I was hanging out with the engineer and we were just kind of chit chatting a little bit. And the guy walks in and it's a dude I had met like a week or two before that.
Oh.
And he looked at me and I looked at him and we were like, "No way. It's you, dude. What are you doing?" And so like I had told him a couple of weeks ago that I was like trying to get into voiceover, but he apparently like didn't even remember my name because we're both bad at names, I guess. And he was like, "Remind me your name again." So it was kind of like, I deduced from that he had actually hired me like based off of what my voice sounded like and what I could do in my demo, which was kind of nice to have that as well. Cause it's like I would totally take the job if it was just because I knew the guy, but it's also kind of nice to know that it's not necessarily just because I know the guy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, it made me feel like, okay, I can maybe, like, I can actually do this, you know?
Man, the first of many more to come. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Congratulations. Yeah,
yeah. Thank you. But I remember, like, the feeling of, like, actually having someone think that you're worth their time and money to do this job is, like, really great. Like, that was the icing on the cake for me, for sure.
Talk to us about being directed, right? I think a lot of people that are recording in their own home studios, in their rooms, in their closets, in their tents, whatever,
right,
are always facing, we're all alone, aren't we, in our own individual spaces?
Yeah.
And
yeah.
We don't necessarily get a chance to be directed by somebody else. What did that experience feel like to you?
That's actually, it's really nice. Like, but I'll tell you one thing though, when I was in the session, there was one point where they just stopped talking and like, I couldn't hear anything. And it was right after I had given a take. And, I was like, Oh my God, they hate me. And then I was like, can you guys hear me? Like, I don't know. Cause I was like kind of trying to feel it out. And, they were like, "Oh yeah, we can hear you. We're just kind of talking about some stuff." I guess they were just talking about like plays other things they could do, but they were like, "Yeah, that was good." So, that was just nervousness.
Nailed
on my
it.
Part, I guess. Yeah. So,
had you ever been directed in an artistic way before, in any capacity before that?
Yes. John's always directing us. Like, he's been doing this for a while, so he kind of knows what he's doing.
Very good.
So he directs everybody to give a better read than what they started with, pretty much. Sometimes people just nail it and he'll be like, "All right, I don't know what to tell you. Come out of there." Which is really nice when that happens. Pretty much like since I started doing this, there's always been some direction, unless like I got an audition and for some reason I couldn't go into the studio to do it and I had to self-direct, which is really hard, especially if you don't have the experience of being directed in the first place.
Right.
So that's a very valuable thing that I consider myself very fortunate to be able to get.
And a really good place to get that experience are these workout sessions.
Absolutely.
I'm sure the workouts have been super helpful to you, but I'd like you to be a bit more specific on how those workout sessions has helped you to be a better voice actor.
Part of it is just getting the practice in and having an excuse to, you know, stop whatever else it is you're doing and just go in the booth and practice and hammer away at it, because it takes a long time to get anywhere with this, really. Like, it's an investment of time and money and a lot of other things and effort. You also build some connections. Like, you'll meet people and maybe, you know, a couple of years down the line, they're doing a project and they happen to know you. And then it's like, oh, I know this guy. Maybe he'd be good for this voice or whatever. Oh, you also, you will hear people read a piece of copy, and they'll do it a little bit differently from what you were expecting. And it kind of gets you thinking about different ways you could read it. Like, what it, yeah. Like, what would it sound like if I read it the way this other person just read that, you know? Or you'll think like, oh, that's a really nice like fluctuation or whatever they had at that certain point in mm-hmm. their reading. And it's like really begins to enrich your ability to do this, I think.
That happens to me all the time, because I regularly attend VO workout sessions, both in person and online. And whenever I attend in person, whoever's in the booth is obviously working, and the director is paying attention to that person. And I look around the room, and everybody else is on their phones, like doing they are doing.
Oh, right? No.
But shouldn't be. You should be listening and listening to the directions and thinking about how you would deliver it.
Absolutely.
And all these things. I feel that's one of the things that's helped me very specifically by attending these workout sessions, by listening to different directions and by looking at how different actors react and adjust to those directions. Some do it well and some don't. It's been a really learning experience just by sitting like a fly on the wall, right?
Yeah, just being a fly on the wall, like in anywhere in the industry, is like you're going to learn something if you're paying attention. Like, you just got to show up and be there and be present, and you'll come out of it with something. It's great.
Instead of surrounding yourself with distractions, rather be present in the moment and observe as an actor should.
Right.
Now, your story is unlike anybody else's that I've heard who's a voice actor, because you've had some mental health stuff going on. Tell us about that.
As a disclaimer, before I get into this, like, this might be kind of a visceral topic for some people, because I know a lot of people have mental health stuff going on in their lives, or have had that happen to someone they care about or whatever. But I basically got into voiceover and had the opportunity to do it because my life got like screwed to the side. Like, I was in college, I was studying art. I ended up getting hospitalized like 4 times over a period of like 2 or 3 or 4 months.
Wow.
And that is easily the hardest thing I've ever been through in my life. It was bad.
Wow.
I mean, it was really bad. Like, when I was 20, I got hospitalized a different time and got diagnosed with bipolar disorder. I was maybe like 23 when these last 4 happened. And I was taking some medication for the bipolar disorder, but I ended up going off my meds, which is actually pretty common, especially with people with bipolar. One of the reasons is because people will get hypomanic, which is kind of like their mood will be elevated. They'll be a little bit like kind of fast talky and just feeling like a little bit too good, but not so much that it like really, really interferes with their life. But they're like, why do I want to take medication to get rid of that? Like, I'm functioning better than I would otherwise.
Yeah.
Like, so, and also, it's kind of like medications do something, but I'm not sure that for everybody they do all they are cracked up to be, which is probably why a lot of people hate taking them. I can't speak to other people, but I, for whatever reason, I'm not entirely like, I just, and part of it too was like, I think my illness changed because like, I ended up actually getting diagnosed with schizophrenia, and that is a big, like, as a bogeyman word for a lot of people, I know, but I promise you, I'm just like everybody else. I just had some stuff go on, and whatever you want to call it is whatever you want to call it. But part of that is like, some people get a little paranoid with that, and it's like, what, you know, you start thinking the meds are like really bad for you. And in some cases they are actually like, they're not that great for your kidneys long-term, like really long-term. So there's an element of truth to that kind of stuff. Anyway, so over about a year after I got off my meds, my condition just kept getting worse and worse, and the stress in my life kept getting more and more. And I got to the point that I was like hallucinating and just talking complete word salad. Like, it was just strings of words together that made no sense.
Wow.
And it was like, it was not fun. that's when I got hospitalized, and it was like during this whole time of hospitalizations, I was like, no, I'm not taking meds. This is a bunch of crap. I don't need it. Like, and I was just very resistant to it. But for whatever reason, the fourth time, something kind of clicked, and I was like, you know, it's not going to be that bad if I take the meds. Like, what is it actually really going to do? And I will say that I think the meds do a lot less than people think.
Mm.
I think a large part of it is therapy, but you have to be like really invested in that and work very hard at it for it to yield results.
Right.
So the meds do help, but they're not everything is what I'm trying to say.
Hmm.
Long story short, I'm in a really good place now. But like it was for a while after I got out of the hospital, I was like pretty traumatized. And I don't mean like war veteran traumatized. Like, I don't claim to have any of that type of trauma, but I don't know how else to describe it other than to use the word trauma. So, yeah, like I was pretty messed up cognitively too.
Wow.
And I wasn't really sure how much better I was going to get, but then I started some therapy and kept on the meds, and it was like, okay, I will bounce back from this. Like I'm going to get somewhere. Cause like my thoughts started getting more organized and stuff. And it was like, okay, this is manageable. Like this, I can live with this. But I got like really bored. So I figured like, why not take this class that my brother found out about a year ago and has been doing for a little while? Like I've got nothing else going on. I got nothing to lose. Like just do it.
Yeah.
And then, so I've been scratching the voiceover itch ever since, pretty much.
Wow. I'm left speechless because
it's kind of a lot to take in.
That's a lot to take in from my perspective, but that's also a lot to go through as for you.
Yeah. Well, and let me tell you, it was a blur. Like there's stuff I don't even remember from that time of my life. And I kind of feel like I lost out on a good 2 or 3 years of my life, but I can live with that, I guess. It kind of sucks, but like I can go forward and that's great. So I'm going to do it and like live the best life I can now.
And that attitude and that energy and that desire, if you will, to push forward, to move forward. Not many people can do that, Harrison. I think.
So I had a lot of like family support and support from the community around me. And like my friends took me back after I was kind of like really weird and sort of not fun to be around, at least the ones who like really mattered, you know?
Hmm.
And that really helped me. And I think a lot of people don't get that. Like they end up so off the wall that like people give up on them and they end up homeless the meds don't work well enough or that they don't get good therapy or whatever. And they don't have the support system around them to help them generate that kind of outlook on life. Which I think is really like, it's really important to do that on a personal level, but it helps so much to have everyone around you as well.
I mean, having a support system around you is super important. I completely agree with that. But at the same time, like I would imagine that you need a self-motivated drive to want to get back to whatever you love to do. Live a life or go back to work or walk your dog. I don't know. But
yeah,
I think it's super commendable for that you were able to accomplish that. You know what I mean? You had that drive to overcome your obstacle. That's so brave. That's really brave.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
I couldn't do that. I'm sorry. I couldn't do that. I'm being honest.
Well, you never know. I hope you never have to find out, but you might. I don't know.
Oh, man, that's really something. So this whole voiceover journeys was just on a whim? Like your brother found out about this class and you're like, I'll try it.
Basically, yeah. Like I had no plans of doing anything with acting ever in my life. Just everything got screwed to the side and I was like, well, I got nothing to lose. I might as well try it out. And then the first day I was like, wow, this is really awesome. I'm going to keep doing it. So...
That's hilarious, actually, that you found something that you like to do after an event like that.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I had a lot of stuff I liked to do before that, too. It's just I got so scattered, and I had tendrils in so many places, and I was running myself ragged with all the stuff I was doing. Like, I was doing martial arts and going to school, and I was hanging out with people all the time, and I kind of had too much going on. And then it was like, I got to fill the void after that, sort of.
What were some of your past time favorites that you like to do, enjoy?
Oh, like before all this happened?
Yeah.
Oh, I loved to, like, I was big into martial arts. I was, that was the highlight of my week, pretty much. I also, at the time, I was playing a lot of laser tag, which is kind of funny, but we actually, like, me and my group of friends got pretty good at
it.
Like, we would go, and people would be like, oh no, they're here. Like, you know, like it would always be one of us, like, in the top score, you know? So it's really funny.
That's
but, like,
awesome.
And also, yeah. It's kind of weird, but like, I actually got recognized at a restaurant by some person I had played with like a week ago. And I think I kind of let that go to my head a little bit too. So like, to compound everything, I had like let some sort of semblance of like quasi local fame go to my head. And it was like, no, that's bad. Don't do that.
It's Harrison from the laser tech.
That's exactly. He was like, oh my God. Cause we had like code names. Like, mine was Yeti. And he was like, oh, I had dreads at the time. And then I cut him off. And then the dude saw me and he was like, is that Yeti without dreads? And I was like, oh, dude. So, so it's kind of, there's a lot of funny, quirky stuff in that story. But
well, there you go. If you're in the local, if you're local to Charlotte, North Carolina, the legend of the Yeti. you heard it here, folks. That's woo. Now, Harrison, I'd really like to introduce you to Pete Gustin.
Mm-hmm.
Pete Gustin is a specific inspiration for me because he's the voice of Fox News and many, many, many other things. Like, he does promos, commercials, trailers, so many things. And the guy is blind.
What?
He's legally blind, and he lives in San Diego, just south of where I live. I'm in LA, and he surfs. He's blind and he surfs.
That's awesome.
And his story is pretty darn inspirational. And I was really, really floored when he described how he's able to do his work in his home studio. He's blind, right? He can't read copy. What does he do? It's bonkers. But the guy gets his work done. He's in the studio for 8-10 hours a day. It's ridiculous.
That's really cool. But I guess, like, it goes to show you, like, you don't have to let stuff hold you back. If you're, like, if you have, I don't know, if you're legally blind, for example, or if you have some severe mental health condition or whatever, like, if you've got the right supports in place, especially, you can pretty much live your life and manage whatever it is going on. Like, that's really, like, let's take voiceover as an example. Like, if you want to do it, you can do it. It's just a matter of how much time and effort you're willing to put in, really, and like how invested you are in it. At the same time, you kind of need to have a good mindset and outlook on life to capitalize on to be able to do that. And so, I don't know. I guess what I'm trying to say is, like, it's totally doable.
Mm-hmm.
You just have to be in a place where you want to do it, but don't believe for a second you can't. You know.
Right. I guess that really is the message that needs to go out.
Yeah.
And I bring this up only because I was on Reddit the other day. I responded to a post of this person. Mm-hmm. I forget his name. He's in a wheelchair and he's not able to stand up. And he's read in his research, he's read that it's better to stand up when you do voiceover because diaphragm and energy, blah, 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 blah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Booth Junkie himself, like, responded personally to that post. It doesn't really matter if you can't use your legs, because
right,
voicing, e-learning or tutorials or audiobooks, there are plenty of other genres of voiceover that he could do while sitting down.
Oh, yeah. You know? Absolutely. Absolutely.
And I think there's various different ways to overcome our obstacles, whatever they may be, to get to where we want to go. You certainly are an example of that. I believe so.
Thank you. I don't know what to say, but thank you. I mean, I'm just trying to do the best I can, man. Like,
I mean, you didn't spiral and reject your desires, your needs. You know, I really earnestly and honestly applaud you from the inside, because
thank you.
Just having that resolve and the drive and the desire to really go after what you want to do, even if it is found on a whim, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, that's the other thing too. Like, it was kind of an organic process to just like start doing this. It wasn't anything like forced or anything like that. It was just like, yeah, I'm gonna go back to this class. I like it. But like, yeah, I could have done something else. Like, it could have been anything really, but like, It just kind of clicked.
I think that's what we call being at the right place at the right time.
Yeah. And that's part of this business too, is like, luck is a big part of it, but you have to be like willing to take the opportunity when it comes and recognize it for what it is as well.
Harrison, where do you see yourself going in the VO business?
I'm just going to do this the best I can, and hopefully it will lead me to good places, and I'm not going to stop doing it. This is just something I'm going to do until like an act of God like forces me to stop. Like, you know, like all the stuff I've been through, basically it showed me that like, you know, life can be really, 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 really hard. And if it doesn't, like, hopefully I have stuff figured out to the point now that like I can just continue on this path and things won't go terribly awry again. Like, that would be really nice. And then, you know, I do have aspirations of going to like LA, for example, and eventually one day like being on a cartoon. Like, that'd be really cool. And I don't think I can't do it. I don't know how long it'll take, but I'm certainly going to try. So,
and that spirit of moving forward, despite what may lie in your path, whether it be a mental health stuff, physical stuff, financials, just the fact that you have the courage in you that drives you forward, I think that's an inspiration that everybody listening can definitely draw from.
Thank you. Again, I don't know what to say. These are so many great compliments.
Man.
But thank you.
I'm sure you're a terrible person on the inside. Does that make you feel better? I don't know. I bet you don't give to charity, do you?
Well, you know, one day when I'm making tons of money, I'll throw it all down the charity drain. But yeah.
Talk to me a little bit about Charlotte, North Carolina. What's
sure.
life like there as a person, as well as a voice actor?
Charlotte's a really cool place. Like, we have this place called the USNWC, the United States National Whitewater Center.
Oh,
it's like
fun.
It was a man-made rafting park, basically. And I used to kayak out there all the time, like whitewater kayaking, when I was in like 17, 16 years old. But it's a really cool place. We have the Panther Stadium. We're about to get a Major League Soccer thing, probably, which is going to use the same stadium, I believe. And it's really nice. It's a sprawling city, so it's not like really tightly packed and congested in like New York, which I don't think I could move to New York, because it's like the buildings are like 3 inches apart and there's no space anywhere, which is like just too much for me to handle, man. Like, give me something that's a little more spaced out. But so I like Charlotte. It's nice.
Now, you briefly mentioned about moving out to L.A. eventually.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure that's not in a solid, like, step-by-step written-out plan for you right now.
Mm-hmm.
But realistically, and kind of ideally, if you will, when do you suppose that'll happen?
I mean, hopefully within, like, 10 years, I can make a stab at it. Because, like, here's the thing. I want to do it, but I want to do it smart. Like, I don't want to just go out there with no money and then, like, be screwed.
Yeah.
I want to, like, have a body of work under my belt, have a bunch of money saved up, and then go out there and, like, get a cheap apartment somewhere, with sharing it with somebody maybe, and then, like, eat ramen and just do it for a long time until something clicks.
Rent is expensive here.
Yeah, I know.
Very expensive.
Everything's
here.
Expensive there. So that's why I got to have a bunch of money saved up, and I got to have like some work that I can have under my belt, and then hopefully get some more while I'm out there just to get me by, and then like eat ramen and do it until something clicks.
Nice. Nice. And that drive, that bravery, that courage is going to drive you to success. I can smell it.
I hope so.
I can smell it.
I really do hope so.
So, Harrison, what equipment did you use when you started, and what do you use now, and what do you have planned for the future?
I mentioned a little earlier that my brother is the one who kind of found out about this and got me into it. And so he had started doing it like maybe about a year before I had. And he was talking to one of the engineers at Ground Crew, and he was like, oh, you should get this and this, and that's good to start with for auditions. Mm-hmm. But then my brother went off to college. He's actually in Ireland right now studying acting himself.
Oh.
Yeah. I ended up getting his equipment grandfathered up to me, which is a little weird because usually the older brother, you know, grandfather stuff down. but I ended up with his Rode NT1A mic and pop filter. And I have a Scarlett Solo interface, so it works pretty good.
And what do you plan to upgrade to?
Oh, I mean, it'd be really nice to have like a frickin' Neumann or something. Like, expensive mic, but like, that might be a little bit of a pipe dream. I don't know. We'll see.
U87, baby. Woo!
Yeah. I want to have something like they have at the studio, because they have some nice mics over there that I'm not even allowed to like touch. So, like, I want one of those, man.
Awesome. All right, Harrison, what are some goals for 2020, both personal goals and professional ones?
All right, so on a personal level, I'm looking to lose a little bit of weight. I'm just a little bit heftier than I'd like to be.
Mm, same.
So I gotta like work out more and eat better, basically. Professionally, I got to get some more work in. Like, having one gig is great, but I don't want to stop at one gig.
That's right.
So, yeah, getting some more work in. I am actually in the process right now of sort of giving my website a facelift.
Mm.
And I'm also looking at applying to some agencies
mm-hmm.
outside of my area. So, yeah.
As Gary Vee says, you have to ask.
Yeah, you do. You got to knock on doors.
People who don't ask don't get, right? Got to ask.
Exactly.
Now, this conversation has been super pleasant. Thank you very much for being on. And this glass of bourbon is super totally helping. I think everybody has a go-to drink. Right. What's yours?
So my favorite drink I've ever had is this red wine from Arizona called Anubis. And it's actually produced by a rock star. Like he basically made a bunch of money in the rock star business.
Huh.
And then was like, I'm going to go make some gourmet wine. And it's like really good wine. This wine is good. So, and I can't actually afford it personally. Like the only way I got it was because when I turned 21, my dad was like, oh, we should like have a special occasion. So I was like, well, there's this rock star who makes wine and I'd like to try it. And he was like, let's do it. So, and I won't, you know, I'm not going to turn down some bourbon or like a peaty scotch or a good Irish whiskey or, you know, some cognac or something like that. But the wine, the Anubis especially, is like really, really good. That's my go-to drink.
I notice you're using your wine voice.
Yes, the wine.
The wine voice. Nice. That's great. So, Harrison, what's next? What do you have coming up? And where do you go from here? And if the listeners want to learn more about you, where do they go to find you?
So, Ground Crew has, like, every month, pretty much, John does, like, workout classes. But then, like, twice a year, two other coaches from like the LA area come out and do like a big workshop with John also. So there's one of those coming up in March that I'm going to do, because that's a more intensive thing than just going in for 2 hours on a Monday. I'm also looking to get back into some comedy improv. Like I took a class one time and it was like, this is cool, but I'm not really sure it's for me. And then I kept thinking about it and I was like, that was a lot of fun. I want to do it again. And also improv, like I hear, is really good for voiceover. I think it makes you like a lot more directable. Like it gives
super
you a lot
helpful.
Yeah.
Super duper helpful.
Absolutely. So I'm going to do that and really try to stick with it this time. I also have a website if people want to like find out more about me that I mentioned
earlier.
Oh,
they will.
Thank you.
They will.
It's harrisonpedigovo.com, harrisonpedigovo.com. And that is currently getting a facelift. So if you go there and it looks like crap, that's why. But hopefully that'll change pretty soon. But I also am going to try to start using Twitter.
Yeah.
It's just at Harrison Pedigo, spelled the same way as the website name, HARRISONPEDIGO.
Well, it sounds like you're definitely on the up and up. And the only direction, really, that you're headed to now is up. So
thank you.
Congratulations on your first gig. That's awesome. It feels so great. I know.
Yeah, it really does.
I really wish great success and happiness and lots of money and great networking and all those things that we all voice actors wish for. I really wish that all of that can happen to you. That's
Thank you. Thank you. Really. And you as well, sir. You as well.
Thank you for being on the show. It was a great conversation. I look forward to hearing about your success in the future.
Hey, man, this podcast is fun. I want to do it again. So I hope to be back.
We will have you back. Let's spend a year. Let's have you spend a year in your journey, and let's have you back. I'd really be interested in where we find you in a year from now.
Okay. Check back in a year. Got it, man. All right.
It's a deal. It's still going to be $50. Hopefully more. I don't know. Okay. Hopefully by then it'll be chump change for you.
Yeah. Hopefully, yeah. All right.
Thank you very much for your time, Harrison. I really enjoyed the conversation.
Absolutely.
I appreciate the time. Thank you.
This has been Voice Actor Showcase. Visit our website at voiceactorshowcase.com. If you'd like to be featured on this podcast, contact us at voiceactorshowcase.com. Thanks for listening.